Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back. Today is Friday, July 17, 2015. My name is Angela Walton-Raji, and this is the African Roots Podcast. Remember, you can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. Well, everyone, how are you? I hope that you are well. And guess what? I'm coming to you this week from Maryland. Yes, I am back. I am back from Maggie, the Midwest African American Genealogy Institute, that took place last week in St. Louis, Missouri. Oh my goodness, what an experience it was. I can only just simply say it is a learning and a teaching experience. It is something in which everyone was sharing, everyone was giving, and it's not a typical institute where people will come in, talk to you, leave, the next person comes in and talks about something completely different. When you're in a track, all 12 of those classes are related to that track. And that is very unique. In addition, the energy that has been exhibited, the energy that was exhibited after the institute ended continues. I can't even begin to tell you how incredible that was and how incredible it continues to be. If you are familiar with our Facebook group, you'll see all kinds of commitments at that time that people have made to writing, to telling their stories. People have made commitments to publishing in the next 12 months. Of course, time will tell all and whether or not people will make that commitment and it will be fulfilled. Hopefully so. But oh my gosh, the energy that was shown, it has just been so incredible. I have been just really thrilled to see how many people have just been sharing, teaching, writing, exploring. Even some are this week visiting their ancestral communities and are sharing what they have been finding since that time. Has it been something? Oh yes, this has been a truly amazing experience. That's all I can say to you. I hope that next year you will be able to join us as well. We're already making plans for next year's institute. And yes, it promises to be just as meaningful and just as intensive as it was this year. Well, yes, I am still experiencing my post-Maggie high. I admit to that. And plus, if you haven't seen any pictures, there are lots of pictures to share, all kinds of things, just really reflecting everything that was going on. Well, it has just been truly a wonderful, wonderful experience. But since I have been back, I have had a chance to kind of sort of get back into my regular routine. And what I mean by that, my routine of researching and of writing. And yeah, wow, I've had an amazing week as well. Now, I have to tell you about my experience yesterday. Yesterday, I went to the National Archives, was anxious to get back. Things unfinished, there's always something unfinished to do at the National Archives. But I was excited to really get back and to work on some things. I had been given a tip to look at a particular set of files. I was glad that I did, and I'll tell you about both of those experiences that I had. Well, one was a set of records from the Freedmen's Bureau, and this is a set of records that has not been digitized, neither by the Internet Archive nor by the Family Search site, which of course has provided, oh gosh, over a million pages that have been prepared for digitization and are now being indexed. You've heard me talk about that. But this is a set of records not digitized by Family Search and nor by the Internet Archive, as I just said. But this is a set of records from one of the superintendents and a report that was made to the Bureau. It caught my attention. I had seen a transcription of it, but I wanted to see the original records and all of the pages. So I went to microfilm publication M979, as opposed to some of the others which are in the 1900s, M1901, 1902, etc., from the field offices exclusively. But this is a set of records, a set of reports that was made to the Bureau. This is also a name-rich report, by the way, or this record set. I saw lots of records that people would want to find online, but they aren't there yet, and I don't know if there's a plan to digitize this record set. There are over 52 reels within this record set alone, and within
these records, I wanted to point out that this was talking about little known history in my part of the country. My part of the country being Western Arkansas, Eastern Oklahoma, and the field office in Western Arkansas, in Fort Smith, Arkansas, really served not only that part of the state, but it did serve Indian Territory as well. Someone had shared a transcription of a report made about the plight of those once enslaved in the territory, those who were once enslaved in the Cherokee Nation, in the Choctaw Nation, Creek Nation, Chickasaw Nation, and Seminole Nation. Well, wow, this was very enlightening to see. Little discussion ever occurs in any historical context about what happened in Indian Territory. Many people know, okay, that's our interest, but hey, this is amazing. We're talking about individuals who have an incredible record set that they left, an incredible record trail, and as a result of that trail of records, then we're talking about an amazing set of really a new data set that's available, that's out there, in terms of what happened to those once enslaved in a period in which most historians don't look at it all. Well, anyway, it is important to pay attention to this, and I had a chance to capture that. I got about a good, and I guess this is on reel number 52 out of a collection that consists of 52 reels. So this is the very last reel and the very last set of pages in this very last reel. Anyway, I was able to zoom in and capture some of that information. I will be writing more about that data, certainly in days and weeks to come. And I'm just really excited to be able to share that information. Now, other things that are out there, oh goodness, yesterday was a wonderful day for me for researching. I had ordered, in addition to going to get that microfilm copied, those images that I needed copied, I also had ordered a pension file, one single file. It was of a man who lived in Central Arkansas and Lone Oak, Arkansas, and who had served. He was a Civil War veteran, and this gentleman, Aaron Brooks was his name, had served in the 54th U.S. Colored Infantry out of Arkansas. And the 54th Arkansas Colored Infantry was a regiment that it wasn't out there in terms of involved in major, major battles in the state. And, you know, most of the soldiers certainly lived through their and stayed with their commitment to enlist the soldiers. This particular soldier, Aaron Brooks, he died young. He died in the 1890s, so he didn't live long enough to even collect a pension, but there was a file because his widow outlived him, and she was able to collect a pension as a widow. Well, I must say that I was so glad that someone had told me about this file. I ended up speaking in Arkansas in April of this year at the Arkansas History Commission, and I talked about emancipation when it came to the state. And after I'd given my presentation, a young lady who was in the audience, who was a graduate student, said, I might want to just pull this file and take a look at this file. So this is the first opportunity that I've had to do that, and I decided, okay, I'm going to pull Aaron Brooks' file. Am I ever glad that I did? He was an ordinary man, and he fought for his freedom, and probably did not go very far from where he had lived in his years of freedom. As I said, he died in the 1890s. But the file itself also was an ordinary file. His wife, who was a widow, who did collect her husband's pension. And there were records pertaining to that. Apparently not a very large family at all. And if there were children who were from that union, they were not mentioned by name in the file. They would have been older. Anyway, and so it did not appear that this was going to be anything extensive. And it was not. It was a simple file. It was a thin file. But there was one treasure in that file. I am so glad that I went. There was a photo of the soldier. Yes, a photograph of the soldier in uniform. Not a photo made later in his life, but a photo made when he was a soldier. It's a lovely photograph. You know I took pictures of that. I pulled out my digital camera. I got images of the photo. And this is a small photo. We're not talking about something that's portrait size, 8.5 by 11 or even 5 by 7. It was small. It fit in my hand. It fit in the palm of my hand. But there it was, the soldier standing in uniform. I took pictures of that. I took pictures close up because I wanted to capture his face. I wanted to zoom in and put a face to the name. Now, this is significant. This is significant for so many reasons. You know, there were over 178,000 men who served in the U.S. Colored Troops. Very few of them have ever been identified by name. A few have, but most have never been identified by name. And to my knowledge, there was only one soldier beyond this particular one from the state of Arkansas who had ever been identified by name. And this was from a photograph that was taken of him later in life, that I'm referring to Aaron Hervey, who served in the 57th U.S. Colored Infantry, and who is an ancestor, in fact, of researcher Ronnie Nichols. Many of us know Ronnie Nichols in the Civil War community. He was a reenactor from Arkansas. He was an extra, in fact, in the movie Glory. But he has shared pictures of his particular ancestor. That's the only image by name. There are probably others out there in family collections, but I've just never seen them as much as I research U.S. Colored Troops. Here was the soldier's image. This puts a name, it puts a face to a name, but it also puts a face to a regiment. It puts a face to several regiments that came out of Arkansas, that were created on Arkansas soil. Here is a soldier, and we now know his name, and we now know his face, and we can say this is who that man was. And of course, the question is, are there others? Yes, I'm sure there are others. And our goal should be to go and find those others, and certainly it is there. But as many times as I look at files of Civil War soldiers, this is the first time I've held a file in my hand and held an actual image in my hand. No, I didn't make a lot of noise, but of course I was excited, yes, to see this in the file. What a treasure. What an honor to look at this man's face. What an even greater honor to hold the image, the small image of this man who died well over 100 years ago, who served and fought for his freedom 150 years ago. And wow, now we can look upon his face. Yes, this was such a treat. This made my day. This made my trip to the archives even doubly wonderful. The Freedmen's Bureau records from my part of the state, what a joy. What a greater joy to look at this photograph of this man. And yes, you see the photograph here on the podcast website as well. You can wait, and of course you can trust me that there will be a follow-up article or articles on my blog as well. Anyway, yes, yesterday was a very nice day. And then there is my third piece of news to share with you. Oh my goodness, I am even triply excited. Yesterday was worth my while in Washington. Well, if many of you live near or in Washington, you know, over the years, the National Archives has made changes, innovative changes on the inside where researchers go. I've been going to the National Archives well over 20 years, over 24 years to be exact. I started my research in the spring of 1991 at the archives. Now, I had been doing genealogy prior to that, but in terms of moving to the Maryland area in 1990 and being able to frequently visit the archives beginning in 91, oh yes, well, I've been a regular since that time. My research experience started on the fourth floor microfilm room. Many of you know that room of which I speak. I met many of you there. At the same time, we saw the microfilm room when it was moved down to the first floor where all of the research, with exception of looking at original records in the reading room, all microfilm research took place on the first floor. We saw a room with 100 microfilm readers over time as digitized images grew, as we saw the emergence of sites like Family Search, sites like Heritage Quest, and sites like, yes, Ancestry.com grow. We saw also, those of us who are heavy users of microfilm, we saw a diminishing use of the microfilm area. We saw 100 microfilms shrink down to 50, and we've seen a shrinkage in that area to less than 50 readers and enhancements in terms of the copy. All that said, all that is understood. Well, I went to the archives, as I said yesterday, and swiped my card and looked and said, oh my goodness, what have you guys done now? And I saw a room that used to be, for those of you who know what I mean, the library, where the Congressional Record and a number of other things were, and where there's some offices of some of the archivists. Well, now I saw a new space clearly defined as the Innovation Hub. Okay, what is the Innovation Hub? So I inquired and said, oh, go and take a look. You can ask them documents if you're looking at records upstairs, meaning the reading room, original records that can now be scanned. And you can scan them. Full color images can be made of the records that you use. So I went in there, camera in hand, by the way, and wow, what can I say? There are at least 10 stations, working stations, with scanners that you can now take. And if you're looking at a full pension file, for example, upstairs, it can be brought down to the Innovation Hub for you. And you can scan that entire pension file, even if it's 100 plus pages. The entire file is there for you to scan in color, by the way, and free of charge. Let me say that again. Free of charge. No charge to you. Oh, my goodness. What can be said about that? Can enough be said about that? I don't think so. Absolutely incredible. Well, it was pointed out to me that of the 10 scanning stations, 5 are for PCs, 5 are for Macs, and they're there for you to use large flatbed Epson scanners, color scanners. They are there for you to scan. Am I amazed or am I amazed? Yes, I am amazed. Well, this is truly incredible. I did take pictures. You can see them right here on the site. But beyond that, there was some empty space. I said, well, what about that open space? I'm referring to the space that used to be the library where the Congressional Records were. Well, it was pointed out. That's also for patrons to use. There was a full conference table where 12, 15, 20 people perhaps can sit around. You can have a meeting there if you wish. You can also use some of the smaller seated areas, some with comfortable sofas and cushions, some with ergonomic chairs, and some for smaller groups to meet and talk. You can also bring your lunch. Bring your lunch. You can order a pizza and bring it there and have a meeting. I inquired. I said, well, how much does it cost to use this space? Oh, it's free. There is no charge. It's for you to use. What? Oh, my goodness. My head was truly spinning. I hope you understand what that means. Here is now meeting space. Those of you who are in Washington or you get to Washington, hey, you can plan a meetup. But the meetup doesn't have to be at a restaurant. It can be right there at the National Archives. Meet some friends and use that space. And if you have a lot of time, you can commit yourself to a scanning project. Oh, I want to scan this file of an ancestor. Or you might say, hey, I'd like to be able to scan multiple files. You can do that. Of course, my mind was spinning, and one thing that came to my mind is to make a commitment oh, I've got to figure out how I'm going to do this. Making a commitment to scanning. I mean, the color scanned images, as I was referring to, excuse me, a subset of records that would be of interest to other researchers. You know, a lot of what we do, if we see the bigger picture, if we really back up and see the larger picture, there are forgotten stories from communities. I know that a friend of ours, Maggie, has been spending an incredible week in Jefferson City this week. She's been visiting cemeteries where her ancestors are buried, and she has found a group of U.S. colored troops in the same cemetery. She also visited the National Cemetery. I'm referring to a cemetery in Jefferson City, Missouri, which is the capital. And she saw other U.S. colored troops. Well, right there, there's a community. These men are buried there because they had something in common. Perhaps that they died in that state. They died perhaps in that community. Well, these are men who probably also knew each other, who possibly had a relationship, and whose combined history forms a larger story right there. Well, you know what? This is time to get a pension file or a group of files from that community. Make a commitment to scanning those 3 files, or those 6 files, or those 8 files. Now, the only caveat is that if you make a commitment to scan a file, you scan the entire file. That is the only requirement that is asked, that you scan every page. Well, I can do that. There are some soldiers from a particular subset of Union Army soldiers that are not widely known. I'm referring to black soldiers, for example, that served with the 3 Union regiments out of Indian Territory. These are the Indian Home Guards. The soldiers themselves came from Cherokee Nation and Creek Nation, who fled into Kansas in 1861 with the Papalehola and with others, and who enlisted in the Indian Home Guards, the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd regiments. These are, in fact, the only regiments that were Union Army regiments from the territory. The other 20-plus regiments comprised of Native Americans were Confederate regiments, not widely known. But I have found in these 3 Union Army regiments, I have found several dozen who were African ancestry soldiers. I'm not referring to the 1st and 2nd Kansas Infantry. I'm referring to the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Indian Home Guards. And their story needs to be told. And guess what? I'm going to start scanning them. This is the added bonus to these records. The records that you scan free of charge, you can download them to your thumb drive, take them away free of charge, and the National Archives will commit to putting those records on their website that you have scanned. You can really go about assisting to create new knowledge by putting out the data on these soldiers out there. And I'm gonna carve out some time and make a commitment to doing this. I'm probably gonna be able to commit maybe 1 to 2 days a month, and it may take me several months to get several of these files scanned, but quite a few of them did survive and did get a pension, so there are files for me to now scan. Am I excited about that? Yes. Should you be excited about that? Oh, yes. Free images. If you've been to the National Archives, you know that you have to pay, what, 10, maybe more than that. I think it's now 25 cents a page to copy a file onto blue paper. Now it's being copied. It used to be onto white legalized paper. Now everything is being copied onto blue paper. But 25 cents an image when you can get a color image of the exact same file for free and put it on your thumb drive. Oh, that is really great news. Anyway, I had a triple yesterday when I went to the archives, from finding the documents that I needed to find about Indian Territory history, to finding a photograph of a soldier, and for also learning about the Innovation Hub. You've got to go. You all have to commit to it. Oh, yes. It's an opportunity for all of us to get busy in a totally different way. Go to the archives, folks, and hey, start to use it. Let's plan some meetups at the archives. Anyway, I hope to see some of you there. Well, that is my news of the week, folks, but I think it's all very good, and I'm so thrilled to have been able to share it with you. Anyway, I'm going to wrap it up for this week. Still lots of things to talk about. I have tons of pictures still to share with you about Maggie. Oh, my goodness, what an experience it was. And yes, it is time, certainly, to wind it down for this week and to encourage you, hey, get yourself to an archive, a repository. Yeah, there's a lot to do, and there's a wonderful new opportunity for us to share our information. So, time for me to wind it down. Thank you for listening. Thank you all for your wonderful feedback. And I'm still getting feedback on some of the comments that were shared with participants from Maggie from last week. Anyway, have a wonderful week. Excuse me again. You know, hey, we don't always get a chance to share so much with each other. I am just so honored to share what I found this week with you. I appreciate you being there. I appreciate you listening. And yes, I do appreciate your taking time away from the many things that you could be doing as well. And thank you all for sharing some things with me. I have things to share next week with you that have been shared with me this week. But yeah, I was a bit excited about my finds yesterday at the archives. But in the meantime, please, please, please keep all of your comments coming. And please continue to do what I know you're all busy doing. Yes, I'm going to say it again. Keep researching, everyone. Keep documenting, and always keep sharing what you find. Have a great week, everyone. Be well and be safe. And I'll talk to you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.